Blog Talk Radio.
Keep me together, say you keep me together, say the only thing you mean,
Please leave your message for 201-948-7465.
If I don't get it together, I know I'm trying to keep it, so I've got to get it together. I'm trying to keep it together, trying to keep it together. I'm trying to keep it together, trying to keep us forever, trying to keep us together. I'm trying to keep us forever. Keep me when I need somebody lifting me up. You're the only one with me that I know giving a fuck. I know you holding me down when I need you most. You know we having a celebration, let's exchange a toast. This is your time, baby, yeah, your time. Always on my mind, yeah, you always on my mind. Always on my mind, yeah, yeah, yeah. Once you hear me going, got you going with me. We only going together. We gon' keep on passing on them together.
Good evening. Welcome to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. This is Friday, May 20th, 2022. I actually can't believe that this is about the first time in a long time that I've been sitting here waiting, ready for about maybe 20, 25 minutes. I usually just wait. I'm running around to the last minute trying to get the computers right and everything, even though the computers ain't right, but I got one working right, so we're going to deal with that right now. But, oh, man, it's raining. How everybody feeling out there tonight? I got so much to say that I really don't know. You ever have so much to say that you don't really know where to start? But you know where to finish. I got so much to say tonight that I really don't know where to start. The topics that we are addressing are meaningful, sentimental, important, and things that, you know, need to be discussed, debated. Because, you know, it might just help somebody out there that's listening. I see all the numbers on the phone lines. I see all the people listening in and probably everybody on the link. Listen, for everybody that's clicking on the link, oh, man, my heart goes out to you because, you know, you supporting me. You know, you listening. You could be anywhere, but it's raining outside, so you're here with me. It's nowhere else better to be. And Friday nights belong to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean podcast. Believe that. All the phone numbers that's on the line, my heart goes out to you. Whether you press one and make a comment or not, you're still here with me, and I appreciate that. Let me start off by saying I got a new hotline for the show, for all the shy people, for all the people who like to text me after the show and inbox me after the show with the opinions and topics. You don't have to do that anymore. You can just call the hotline and talk about anything you want to talk about, the topics, give your opinions on everything, and I'll be the voice for the voiceless. I'll talk about it on the show. If you want to, you can call the hotline right now and say something, and I'll be able to listen to it or my assistant, and I'll talk about it tonight. Because you know it's okay, it's cool. Everybody don't want to be in the forefront. Everybody don't want to, you know, step up. You know, everybody don't. If some people just want to lay back and listen, and that's okay, because that's what I'm here for. Because I got the gift of gab, and if there's one thing that I was put here to do, I was put here to enlighten and entertain and be a shining star. See, you have to know when you're a shining star. You have to know your potential. See, I know my potential, and I'm trying to get. And I want all my listeners to know their potential. I want all my listeners to know their potential. You know, become the person that you want to become. That's my message to everybody today. Become the person that you want to become. You don't got nothing to lose, but you might just, you know, win at life. Everybody, how can I say this? And I always say this, but I'm going to say it in a different way tonight. Price, the price you must pay to get where you want to get to. What is the price? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price to get to the place where you want to be? Because you are where you are right now because that's where you want to be. Your job is a reflection of you. Your friends are a reflection of you. The car you drive is a reflection of you. The food you eat, the TV that you watch, everything is a reflection of you. So check this out. If you're not happy and if you're not where you want to be, then what? You have to change all that. You have to change your job. You have to change your friends. You have to change what you watch on TV. You have to change the car you drive. You have to change the food you eat. Everything you do is a reflection of you. Coincidence that the people that do nothing get nothing. No, it's not. Tonight is going to be a good night. It's going to be a good show. If you're sensitive, I really don't know what to say. Because feelings might get hurt. Egos might be touched. Situations might be changed. But one thing you know, on this show, we're going to keep it real, and I'm going to keep it real. And it's just everything I say is just my opinion. So if I say something fucked up about light-skinned people, that's just the way how I feel. And if it's a light-skinned person out here that want to debate it or go another way with it, that's what we're here for. We're here to agree to disagree. It's nobody right. It's nobody wrong. That's what the podcast is all about. What is the price you want to pay to get where you're going? And I'm trying to get everybody. I'm trying to get everybody. I want everybody on my level. Cause look, trust me, I never say my age, but I'm in my upper 50s. I'm not far from 60, but I haven't given up yet. I always tell my sister, my oldest brother was the first one to go to college from our family. But I always felt like I was going to be the one that was going to save the family. I was going to be the one that bought my mother a big mansion house. I was going to be the one that was able to supply the money so my father wouldn't have to work 7 days a week. I was going to be the one to help all my brothers and sisters so they didn't have to punch clocks. I always thought I was going to be the one. I did. I really did. And it weighs heavy on me. You know, when I started writing books and I wrote movies and I did everything that I was supposed to do to try to get where I was supposed to get. But it's okay. I'm not there yet. You'll die trying. Yo, you know, Ford, the man that created the Ford car, he didn't create the Ford car until he was 48. It's never too late. I know a guy that's 65 years old that just opened up a restaurant making $300,000 a year at 65 years old. It's never too late. You could take 100 people and they all start off at 25 years old. And this is real because I do research and I do studying and I read a lot and I listen a lot. You can take 100 people and you can start them off when they was 25 years old. When they got 65 out of 2,500 people from 25 to 65 years old, only one of them will be rich. Four of them will be financially independent. Five will still be working, and the other 54 be broke. Now, what happened? Something happened, because at 25, we all started off with the same thing. We all was young. We all was vibrant. We all was eager. We all had goals. We all had plans for our life. But now you're 65, and what? You're not rich. You're not financially independent. So either you broke or you still working. Why is that? I don't know. We all just trying to be successful out here in this world. You know what I mean? We just trying to, what's successful? A school teacher that's doing what she want to do. If she always wanted to be a school teacher, she's successful. A wife, if that's what you always want to do, is be somebody's wife and raise the kids while your man, right? While your man worked, then you successful. A gas station worker, a salesperson. If you doing what you always wanted to do, then you successful. And if you didn't, then you not. But it's never too late. Price you're going to pay to get where you want to get. What do you want, money or peace? Yo, become the person that you want to become. If you don't do nothing else in this world, become the person that you want to become. You don't got nothing to lose, but you got a lot to win. On one tonight. I haven't drank since last Friday. This is my first time drinking, so I'm on one tonight. And like I said earlier, tonight, feelings might get hurt, egos might get bent, but I don't care. One thing we're going to do on this show, we're going to keep it fucking real tonight. That's what we're going to do. I'm proud of myself. I really am. Mother died of COVID complications from this government. 17 days in the hospital alone. And you got to live with that. Now tell me what's worse than that. What in this world, that's a real reality for your ass. This government. Shit, I didn't even talk about the white boy who drove 4 hours to Buffalo, New York to shoot and kill 10 elderly black people. Some of them was young, but elderly black people. Yo, this white boy, and I got white listeners, so I'm not, all white people ain't bad. Don't get me wrong. All white people ain't bad. But the white people that's good need to step to the white people that's bad, and then that would be a whole lot better. But we got one white boy, 18 years old, that drove 4 hours to Buffalo, New York, to shoot 13 black elderly people with the word nigger written on his gun. 18 years old. Where the people with the money? Where Jay-Z? Where all the black people with the money? The rappers and the actors? I ain't hear shit. I haven't heard nothing from them. Anybody heard anything from them? Press 1 and let me know. We haven't heard anything from Jay-Z, 50 Cent, all the rich people, Will Smith, Denzel Washington. We didn't hear shit. White boy drove 4 hours to kill black people and then had the word nigga on his gun. And I ain't hear nobody say, we trying to find out where his mama live at, where his cousins live at, where his family live at. We ain't black people. We ain't did nothing. But we got 18-year-olds as killers. But check this out. What did this 18-year-old boy kill black people for? Race. He said the white people are becoming the minority. He wanted to take as many black people off this earth as he could. So do the science. The 18-year-old white boy was killing black people for what? To build his white race up. What are black people killing black people for? Corners? Colors? Don't fuck with me tonight. I'm dropping bombs. I'm dropping knowledge. If it go over your head, listen to the show tomorrow, and it'll hit you. We got to get on course. We got to get on course. I'm telling you, black people, we got to get on course. We just like a ship. Take a ship that's in the ocean with a captain and all the people on deck that help the ship, and they got a destination and they know where they're going, and the captain is giving the orders, and the ship is on a one-way trip and it's going to their destination. That's because they got a captain, they got a plan, they got a destination, they know where they're going. We on a ship with no captain. Nobody on deck. We ain't never going nowhere. Sad to say. I gotta take it down a little bit. Let me take it down a little bit. We got a lot of topics to talk about tonight. I hope people come on here, and help me out. And keep it real. That's what we want to do. We want to keep it real on this show. That's what we got to do. But before we do that, I want everybody, all my listeners, because, I really appreciate everybody who listens to this show. And if we do better, and then we could tell somebody else to do better, we could tell somebody else to do better. It could be friends. It could be cousins. It could be family. It could be our children. It could be anybody. We could tell anybody, yo, you know, you got to become what you want to become. I heard somebody say, you know, it's six steps. You know what I mean? We got to start. Check this out. Start waking up in the morning an hour before you usually wake up just to get your mind working. Six steps. Start setting goals. We gotta start preparing ourselves for the future for what we want to do. You gotta start thinking about the person that you want to be. Or think back to your childhood and try to figure out where things went wrong. Write down a description of the person you want to be and start trying to become that person. Act the part. And you will become the part. Because I'm not giving up. I'm not trying to be the richest man on the planet, but I got goals and I got plans, and I probably said them on this show before. I want to retire in Atlanta with a lake in my backyard. I want to get up in the morning, eat breakfast, and write for a couple of hours, and then lunchtime, take lunch, eat lunch. After an hour lunch, go back to writing to about 4 or 5 o'clock, close my laptop, and then go fishing for about 3 hours, 5 to 8, and then come in the house and take a shower and go to bed, and that's how I want to live the rest of my life. And that's on my vision board. And I'm going to keep talking, and I'm going to keep figuring out, and I'm going to make it happen, talking into existence. Everybody, get you a vision board. And it's 8:22. I think I talked enough tonight. I hope I touched somebody. And once again, like I said, if you want to make a comment or you want to make a statement, you have to press 1. That way I know you out there, because there's a lot of people on the phone lines. I don't know if you want to say something unless you press 1. If you're listening on the link, you just have to listen on the link. And I'm ready to start the show. I hope it got off on the right foot. So we're going to let's go to the first caller. 3058, you live.
What's up?
What's up? That's the Martin, what's up?
Hey.
You didn't oversleep tonight.
Oh no. I have a pesky roommate and I had to run her out of here.
You had to run her out?
I had to run out. She'll be coming back soon, but I'm not in the mood for her tonight.
Well, let her say hello when she come back.
Uh-uh. Her noodles aren't all there. No.
No, maybe ain't nobody out here might not be all there after tonight.
Well, she's definitely not. That's for sure.
What's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I like the topics tonight.
Oh wow! I was trying to keep from talking too much. You know, I get on a roll when I'm drinking.
That's okay, cause I'm gonna have me one too.
Oh, well, alrighty then. Let's take a drink then. Shit.
That's right. Wait for somebody to bring me some ice. I have to have ice with it. But I do have to say, I tried out something. I'm dying to try out. That's going to be another show. I tried something out that I've been wanting to try out. They were telling me about the marijuana brownies and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, the edibles.
Yeah, but I didn't know you were supposed to inject it into the food.
Oh, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, it's something you inject into whatever you want to eat.
Wow.
And you're supposed to inject a little of it to see how you would react. Well, I injected the whole thing.
Oh, Lord.
I was on one heck of a high, well, let me tell you.
Well, let me tell you something. We're going to have to make that a topic soon.
Oh,
shit.
Yes, definitely.
You know what I mean? That's going to have to be one of the topics. We got some, you said you like the topic. I got like four topics. Which one was, well, first let me say, we got the light skin. Is it privilege or is light skin privilege? Is it real or not? Have you ever been sexually turned out sexually? The abortion rights and, the other one is, would you marry or date a disabled person? Which topic did you like?
All of the above. But I'm going to go with the light skins. Well, to each his own. I'm not into light-skinned men. I love my black man. And the blacker, the better. I love a black man.
Okay, hey.
Yeah, a light-skinned man just don't do it for me. Just don't.
Okay, he don't do it for
him,
but is it such thing as light-skinned privilege?
Yeah, it definitely. Yeah, in some instances there is. Definitely.
Far as what? Jobs. Dating,
jobs, a little bit of everything. Some people don't want dark skinned children. Yeah, they'll
That's
go
true.
That way.
Are you dark skinned? Are you dark skinned?
I'm dark skinned. But I love my black man.
have a light skinned person ever called you black, tar baby, anything like that?
No, never had that. No.
Oh, you lucky. And you still don't like light skinned people?
I like them, but not to go out with, no. I would never date one.
You would never date a light skinned, a high yellow man?
No.
Do you believe that a light skinned person is mixed with white, more mixed with white than a dark skinned person?
Well, I couldn't even say for sure. It could be.
No, that's real. Light skinned people have more white in them than dark skinned people. You know, we all, everybody mix with a lot of different shit.
Mm-hmm.
So do you believe that light-skinned people think they better than dark-skinned people?
Some of them do, unfortunately. Some of them do.
But you've never been called black by a light-skinned person?
No.
You ever called a light skinned person a name?
No. I've never hung around people like that. I'm just friendly with people, period. But I don't hang around a lot of people.
Okay. I think that I got a lot of friends that's light skinned. I was talking to one of my friends, cousins, earlier, cousins and friends, whatever, we close. And if he called tonight, I'm gonna let him tell the story. But I'm gonna talk about another friend of mine that I grew up with, and
mm-hmm.
you know too, they live next door to me. They live next door to us growing up.
Okay.
So I don't want to say the names, but you know they live next door to me growing up, right next door. And I was close friends with one of them, with one of the brothers. And I can remember being 7 and 8 years old, like, because we was friends since we was 4. But I can remember being like 8 and 9 years old, and he was light-skinned. And I can remember him always saying, making statements to me like, I'm glad I'm not black. I'm glad I'm what? Not dark-skinned like you. And he used to say that, but I was like 7 and 8 years old. I really didn't understand. I didn't know. When he said he glad he not dark skinned, like, I just said in my mind, damn, I wish I was light skinned, you know, because he used to say that. We was young, like 8 years old, 7, 8, 9, and he used to always say, I'm the sun, you know, the sun, you know, the light skinned people, they can't fuck with the sun. Like, I'm glad I'm not dark skinned. I'm glad I'm light-skinned, but I was young, so I never really paid attention to it. But now that I'm older, I know that even at a young age, he was, you know, he was on that light-skinned shit already.
Mm.
But like I said, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to figure out, the topic of the show is that light-skinned privilege, does it exist or does it not? You know what I mean?
I'm sure it does. I'm sure. Oh, yeah. You'll get some person who will tell you about it, because it definitely exists.
All right, look, don't go nowhere. But look, before you go anywhere, I want to ask you something, and then I'm going to let you answer it when I come back to you. I want to know, don't answer it now. Would you date or marry a disabled person, blind, wheelchair-bound, deaf, what else is disabled? One leg. Would you date or marry a disabled person? Don't answer that right now. I will let it marinate for a minute. You know, then we're gonna come back to that. We got a lot of people on the lines. If you want to make a statement or you want to make a comment, you know, just press 1 so I can know you there. Don't go nowhere. Let me bring somebody else in. 4785, you live.
Good evening.
Good evening. How you doing?
Yes. All right.
How you doing?
All right.
Huh?
All right this evening.
Oh, you all right?
Yeah. I forgot. What did you say your second topic was? I heard the light skin privilege. What was the second one?
Are you light skin?
What was the second topic? Then I'll come back to that.
Are you light skin?
I'll tell you when you say what the second. I want to know what the second topic
was. You sound like a damn light skin person.
Okay. All right. So my thought on light skin privilege.
No, hold on. I'm just joking. We got the other topics is have you ever been turned out sexually? Would you marry or date a disabled person? And abortion rights, should it be a woman or the government, you know, choice to determine what a woman do?
Okay. Far as light skin privilege, I'm dark skin, but my mother was light skin, and never knew what color she really was my whole life, because She never played into that she was, you know, lighter than us. All of her kids was dark skinned. She never played the color card with none of us. You know, she never called us out by our name. We never felt any different than her. Our father was real dark, and in our household, we just the color never came up. Now, light skin privilege, I don't know as much as light skin privilege, but I do know the world leans towards pretty people. It's a privilege with that. Like, people gravitate to a person that's good looking and overlook a whole bunch of other people in the world. I didn't really grow up with a lot of light-skinned people around me. Most people were dark or white. But I do know that light-skinned people are the only ones that I know of that go around and say they have a color for themselves. Oh, I'm caramel, or I'm pecan tan, or I'm, candy apple red or whatever. They're the only ones I know of that have colors for themselves. Dark-skinned people really never say anything. You know, we either blue, black, or we black, or, you know, chocolate or whatever. But we don't really call ourselves stuff like that. But if you ever be with a light-skinned person, you say something, be like, well, I'm pecan. I had a husband, and he was like, well, I'm pecan tan. And I'm like, okay, so you look like a candy bar. So, I mean, like, what is that all about? But that's growing up not wanting to be dark, like you said your friend was. Because I remember going to visit my grandmother in a southern state. And when we would come back, our neighbors would be like, boy, we can see nothing but your teeth and your eyes. And I'm like, okay. you know, like I'm saying, well, we was just down south. So, I mean, we was having a good time playing. Who paid attention to how dark we got? You know what I mean? But like you said, then when you do be with some light-skinned people, I got to get out the sun. I don't want to get dark. And I'm like, you don't want to get dark. You're already dark. We black people. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But being a dark-skinned female and in my little group when I was young going out partying, if we did have a light-skinned girl with us, the guys would gravitate to her. You know what I'm saying? And when it didn't work out right with them, then they would want to take one of the dark-skinned girls. So it's like the young lady was speaking a few minutes ago. It's a thing of the world that people want. Just like people want white women. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. If they can't get a white woman, then they want a light-skinned woman because they feel the same way. You know what I mean? But like she was saying, she don't like light-skinned men. When I was dating young, I only had light-skinned men. And I know it's going to sound bad what I said. I'm going to say now, but to me, black, darker men always felt insecure about themselves. Like, oh, I'm not going in that restaurant. There's nothing but white people in there. Or I'm not hanging out in this area because it's white people here. But with light-skinned people, they don't have that problem because they feel like they already fit in. You know what I mean? Like, but if we're just a human being, we shouldn't even worry about what color we are because what would the world look like if everybody was the same color? I'm going to move on because I know other people want to talk. So I just want to say this one about being how you say the word about have you ever been
sexually turned out?
Yeah, turned out. Okay, thank you. Now, it has happened to me, but it's a thing that you get caught up in, and it's a good ride. That's all I can say. It's a good ride, but all rides come to an end, and you just have to be careful the ride that you get on, that you in control of it and that you can get off when you get ready to get off. Because my ride was so enlightening that the person had to tell me that I was a fatal attraction. And I had to actually pull myself back and realize that I must have been very deep into, what I was in. So I left the relationship myself because I felt like nobody should have to feel like that when you're in a relationship. Pretty well the other two topics. I really don't have anything to say about.
All right, I want to wait a minute, somebody. I want to ask you a question, but don't answer it yet. So I'm gonna come back.
Yeah,
to
I know
the
what
answer. But would you date or marry a disabled person? So I'm asking everybody that, but I'm coming back to everybody on that issue. So I'm gonna come back to you on that. Would you date or marry a disabled person?
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Hold on. 3282.
What's happening, Jay?
What's going on, man?
Man, brother, you're the man with the plan.
What? I can't hear you.
I said, you the man with the plan. Hold up, remember about this.
Hey, I'm the man speakerphone, with the plan. I was listening to the ladies. Yeah, you the man with the plan, baby. What they say, New Jack? What they say, New Jack City? Well, it's yours, Nino.
I'm trying to make things happen here, man. You know?
Hey, that's all we can do, man. One step at a time, Jay. You know that.
This is everybody. Everybody know this is my man, Forrest. He with me every week. You know what I mean? He come out here. I appreciate that very much. And, you know, he got his own podcast. Actually, tomorrow night is his last podcast with me. He going on to do bigger and better things.
Well, not tomorrow night. I got 1 week, Jay, after this one. I got the 21st, 28th. Then I'm off.
Oh, you got two more. Oh, my bad. I thought you only had one more.
My bad.
We got two more weeks with him.
Yeah.
That's even
but
better.
But we're still together. Yeah, we're still because we advertise for each other. Even though I'm going to a different platform, everybody, you know, I still advertise my man on Facebook, and I'm going to give him a mention every time after I do my show and some other people that have come on Jay's podcast. So we're still united. We're just doing different things. That's all.
That's what we got. That's what we got. That's what we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
We got to stay united. What you, you know, I always like to bring you in on my. What you think about light skin privilege? Is it real or that doesn't exist?
Well, it's kind of real. I remember one time, you know, John. I went down. I met when we were booking girls for parties. John was telling me about a Spanish lady he met. I said, "Well, John, where'd you meet at?" He said, "Well, I go to this Chinese store for my food, and I get." I said, "There was a." I said, "Oh, you got an Asian woman that wants to dance?" He said, "No, she's Puerto Rican." Now, I mean, correct me, y'all. It would be far and few in between, but I've never seen a black person working there, cash register in a Chinese restaurant. But I tell you what, there's a lot of us that spend a lot of money with the Chinese culture, and I ain't mad at you if you like Chinese food, even though you know. Health-wise, it ain't good for you, but, hey, we consume a lot of that greasy stuff, greasy spoon. But what I'm saying here is there is privilege, and that goes back, I know you're familiar, Jay, and the ladies, your guests, with the Willie Lynch syndrome.
Right.
You know, and that goes back to Willie Lynch where they would, that the slave master instilled in us as a culture that the lighter-skinned Negro always had more opportunity and looked better. He had, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, his start with my history lesson, they treated the light-skinned slave just a little bit more. He had a little bit more than the dark-skinned slave, okay? And that put us, and he knew what he was doing, Willie Lynch, because it would create a division amongst our culture within our ranks. So that this way, you wouldn't be looking at, in other words, what the master was doing, we would be a distraction to each other. We have what they call infighting amongst our culture. So, there's that. Now, I'm going to tell you, now, back in my party days, I'm talking about the 70s, the 80s, right, a lot of girls were like, ooh, a lot of guys that had that, what's that singer, Jay? He was in New Jack City, Christopher Williams?
I think so.
Yeah, Christopher Williams was in there. You know, Christopher Williams, light skin. You know, he had the pretty boy look. You know, oh, man, back then, woo! I heard a lot of black women say, oh, he's so fine. Light skin, got that good hair, you know. But now, if you notice, a lot of light-skinned sisters like to deal with the dog brothers now. Aha. It ain't like that no more. But like I said, everybody has their preference. My preference is the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice, and I like them brown skin. Now, in the past, I've dated some light-skinned sisters. I wasn't prejudiced. But my preference would be a melanated woman. Dark. Brown skin.
A man that love what he like what he love.
That's right.
Dark skin. What you said, brown skin?
Dark skin, brown skin. Black of the berry,
dark
sweet
skin.
Of the juice.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the original woman.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
And if you with a dark-skinned woman, you tell her after she got out of the shower, you put some of that coconut oil on. Oh, my God. Great. What are you saying?
Oh, wait. Hold up now. You on the other side of the menu.
No, I said put some coconut oil on. What's up?
No, I'm playing. Hey, Forrest, hold down one minute.
I know you
okay?
are. Okay, go ahead.
hold down one minute. Hold down.
Uh-huh.
9938, you live.
Yo, peace. Assalamu alaikum. How's everybody doing tonight? What's going on, Jay?
What's going on, Otis? This is my brother for last week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm grateful to Allah to be here right now and speaking to you all. But listen, I just was tuning in. I want to say something real quick, like, you know, bro, you were just talking about the Willie Lynch, but not to, you know, squeeze on anything what you were saying, but as you were saying that, you turned right around and did exactly what Willie Lynch implemented in the methodology. And what we failed to realize is that in the psychological damage that we have incurred, because you kept saying the darker the berry, the sweeter the juicer, you kept saying you want a melanated woman, right? Well, a mulatto woman, a black woman, she possesses 16 shades. She possesses 16 shades of pigmentation.
Right.
16 shades. Okay? Mm-hmm. So with that being the case, a melanated woman is not necessarily dark-skinned or brown-skinned. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the sad thing about it is that you're right. That doctrine and that methodology of Willie Lynch has penetrated us psychologically for so many years that even when we know its presence, we still practice its method. You know what I'm saying? And saying that we prefer. You know, and I'm not knocking what you say. I'm just saying we're saying we prefer, right?
Right.
Now, me, I get what you're saying. Me,
right.
I've dated all types of women, from Caucasian women to American women to Hispanic
mm-hmm.
women. Matter of fact, in my youthful days growing up, a lot of the sisters didn't really want to be bothered with me because they was hating on me dealing with Hispanic women. Not realizing
right.
that Hispanic women are women of their culture. You understand what I'm
exactly.
saying? But
right.
this is the, you know, disparity that we have in our community that we have to rectify. And we have to stop placing these titles or these images of separation that we face amongst ourselves. You know what I'm saying? When I look
right.
at a black woman, because in my family, I have women of all persuasion of them 16 shades. You know, my sister, my closest sister, she's very mulatto. My youngest sister is very copper brown, sugar brown, you know, and then my oldest sister, Rhonda, she's a darker brown, and her complexion, she's beautiful. All of my sisters are beautiful. You understand? So at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? You know, I try to appreciate our melanated mothers and sisters for whatever complexion she comes in, because the greater part of her is not her complexion, but her heart. And I say her heart because her mind can only be existing upon what her heart desires. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying?
I hear y'all, but how about the booty?
How about the booty?
Yeah.
I mean the booty can be relevant, but is the booty gonna be, you know, worthy of your time? I mean, come on. She walking around with a big booty, and then she ain't got you in no form of fashion. She ain't supporting you in no form of fashion. She just, you know, she
That's
can
true.
Have a beautiful face, she can have beautiful hips, breasts. And the whole nine, and then when you find yourself in a predicament, you by yourself. You skateboarding to the next
that's,
dude. You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly why I said that. You broke that down correctly.
Yes, he did. And the Temptations sang that song, my brother. Beauty's only skin deep. You and I have been on that ship where I've dated Hispanic. I've dated I wouldn't even say dated. It was like more like a one hit quitter, because I don't, you know, three or four times. I just want to see about the myth with Caucasian. So the bottom line is, you're right. If you notice, like I said, brother, I've dated the light skinned sisters, the brown skinned sisters, the pecan, the dark skin. I'm just saying, as a brother, I prefer, all right, a dark. And like I said, it has nothing to do, because I treat them all the same, and I talk to them all the same. You know what I'm saying?
I respect that, but I analogize that to a teacher saying, I want, you know, I love to have these students who come into my classroom, and you guys are all wonderful, but I prefer so-and-so. So now when I say I prefer so-and-so, right away, I bring a sense of low esteem to the other students immediately. You see what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you know, I just would stay away from even, you know, if I do prefer a certain type, I stay away from even incriminating myself like that, because what I focus. Yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I would verbalize that. That would be my own personal.
Look,
I would be on silent mode. Okay.
I want to know, Malad, because I want to see how you answer this. Is it such thing as light skin privilege?
I mean, yes and no. Like, light skin people have always been given a certain status here in the American African experience of slavery, where we came. But let me tell you now, they also in attaining this status, they really get sucker punched. You know what I'm saying? They get sucker punched because it's like they become engulfed in believing that they're on a certain privilege, and then reality hits them right in the face. No, you still that nigga. Get in your place. You understand what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, it does exist, but most people who are treated with that, or they find themselves being humiliated in the end. You know, Malcolm X's mother, if you do the history on his biography, his mother was a light-skinned woman. And she would constantly talk about how she repelled that favoritism. You know what I'm saying? Because she realized that she was just being baited. You know what I mean? She was just being baited. And at the end of the day, they were gonna discriminate against her either way. You know, using her because of her her light skin texture of skin, and then deploring her when, you know, they didn't get what they want, or, you know what I'm saying, or they just felt, you know, the time is, you know, hey, you've outworn, yeah, you're welcome. You know, but, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, on the real side, B, I'm just being 100, like, we have to break a lot of chains, man, psychologically, especially us as American African men. We have to really tighten up, man, because we are failing our community, bro. We're failing our nation of people, and it's generation after generation after generation, and yet we keep talking about the diseases that are affecting us, but we're not doing anything to change this. We're not doing anything, right. We keep talking about it. We keep mentioning how we aware. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, everything I'm saying is right and exact, because I'm coming from, and that you have to acknowledge that and accept it. I'm just giving you my perspective. You know, psychologically, American African men, we're damaged. We're really hurting in that department.
Yeah,
and
true.
As a nation, you know, we'll never really be right until we, the American African male, starts
right.
to be that alpha that we're supposed to be, and allowing ourselves to be the foundation to our families as we should be. And it's not so much about going out making the most money. All of that is irrelevant to protecting your family, securing your family, and maintaining your family. Because the first thing that comes with provision is not monetary. It's knowledge, man.
Right.
Knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Hey, Malai.
Knowledge.
Hey, Malai.
Yo. Yeah, brother.
Would you marry a disabled person?
Absolutely. My wife is disabled. My wife at present, she's dialysis. She has no kidney. She needs a kidney right now. And there's nothing in this world. Allah has blessed me to have, man, let me tell you something, bro. You're making me tear up right now. Like, let me tell you something, man. I've never met a more consciously considerate person than when I married this woman. So, you know, marrying someone who's disabled is an irrelevant topic to me, because I'm marrying for the heart. You know, and what you might consider a woman who ain't, you might think that the woman who walking around with the big breast and the big behind ain't, as not being disabled, but yet she running around here wearing fake eyelashes that's as long as her fingernails, that's 3 and 5 inches long. She's got everything around her and about her is artificial.
I think that everybody is disabled, if you ask me. Because
there you go.
You got some people who they might have a mole on their face. You know what I mean?
You might have some people
that wake up fat every day. You might have a man that got a little penis. You know what I mean? He might feel disabled because of that.
Hello.
So
hey,
everybody.
Hey, that's a serious thing. You're right.
You know what
and
I mean?
And
all about
and the thing, I'm
right.
I think that was a brilliant topic to talk about, because
right.
we as American African men, man, we are tripping. When you mentioned that Willie Lynch, I sat right here, and if I had a big blowhorn to applaud you, I would have been letting the world know, because we seem to forget that these methodology of wicketry have been placed in our psyche, and we just go about like we some healthy minded people. You know what I'm saying?
You know what
seriously.
You know what I said
yeah,
earlier,
Malai? Yeah, beloved.
I said earlier,
mm-hmm.
like in my introduction, I talked about the white boy that drove 4 hours to Buffalo to kill 10 or 13 elderly black people And
wow.
And he's 18 years old, and he
right.
drove he drove 4 hours to kill black people, and I don't hear no
right.
celebrity saying nothing. And he had niggas written on his gun. Now, we got
right.
some 18-year-old killers out here. You know what I'm saying? But
they're
not.
That's
that
right.
white boy was killing for race. You know why? Because he said the white people going to be the minority soon. You know what I mean? He killing,
hey, but now, Jay,
you
know,
trying to protect
his
race.
Jay Sean, you know what's even worse than that?
What?
You know what's even worse than that? I don't hear none of these so-called affiliate organizations saying, you know what? We're going to protect our community from here on in from any of this type. So if you a white person and you feel like you got some, I don't hear none of this, but I don't hear these affiliates of the Bloods and the Crips and the Vice Lords and the Latin Kings or whoever saying, look, I'm telling you now, if you racist, you white,
I didn't want to say that.
You're a supremacist. You're a supremacist. We protecting our community. We not relying upon the police no more. Man, we need these young soldiers to step up right now, man. We need these young soldiers to stop warring against each other and start recognizing
yep.
that they have a place in our society, and we need them, man. We need these brothers, man. You understand? These brave, these courageous men that are in a world that sometimes they have to, you know, they have no choice but to survive the way they survive. But guess what, man? There's a war ready to go down that's going down, and them brothers, we need them on the front line, man. We need we need them protecting them. Yeah, bro.
Aim a line. Aim a line.
Yes.
Real quick, if you don't mind. Malai, let me tell you, he's going to tell you later. He got his podcast coming on the 29th, Sunday.
Yeah,
next Sunday. He had a podcast with me before. He took a little hiatus, but he's coming back on the 29th. So I want y'all to tune into his show. But it's called the 20th Impact. Malai.
You had a great night out here. Good. Thank you. Go ahead.
Tell my audience a little bit about, like, what you've been through, like, you know what I'm saying, if you don't mind.
Well, you know, alhamdulillah, first and foremost, I'm from Paterson, New Jersey. I'm a 17th
right.
Ave, Park Avenue, East Side. You know, I'm from up the hill in a Market Street area. You know, I'm a straight soldier from the streets. But, you know, before going to prison, I went to prison. I was an addict. I smoked crack. I sniffed heroin. I sold drugs, you know, in my streets. And I was behind the gun. And then I ended up coming out to Virginia. And when I came out to Virginia, I fell victim to the system. I fell victim, and they ended up incarcerating me for 50 years with 30 years to do for unarmed robbery, no weapon, no assault, no trauma to the victim. My guidelines called for me to get 2 years minimal, 4 years maximum, and my mid range, they wanted to place me on probation. So I was actually not supposed to go to prison. But the judge sentenced me to 50 years with 30 years to do. I did 25 years by the grace of Allah. I returned home December the 17th, 2020, and I was given a conditional pardon by the governor. After, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears of my mother, my father, and my family, and some beautiful brothers in my faith of Islam who fought to get me home, and all
you
my
did,
people in my
you
community.
Did 20, you did 25 years.
25 years. I didn't have a weapon. I didn't assault nobody. I didn't threaten nobody. I didn't murder anybody. I had more time than – I had cell partners who had double murder. Double homicides I had more time than. You understand? You know, I did my time, and I got my conditional pardon, and I came home, and I've been – you know, I had a nonprofit while I was locked up. You know, I began mentoring young men as a Muslim leader, and I allowed myself, you know, to be led as well as to follow and teach, you know, and to lead. You know what I'm saying?
That's,
so I began programs in the prisons, you know, to help aid other brothers, you know what I'm saying, who were going through tribal situations like me, and, you know, so that they can come out in society and be successful. And right now we out here operating to strive to build and keep this foundation moving, Community United Focus, and also my affiliate organization, Freedom Over Everything, which is been created by, you know, a few brothers that's incarcerated down. One of them from Jersey. His name is Nadir. He's from Asbury. You know, that's my team, and we out here, we push hard to make things happen and to bring about rectification in the community, because we know that if I could change, man, you know, everybody can change. You know, if I could change, coming from 17th Ave, where I grew up at.
When is your podcast? When your podcast?
Oh, my podcast is going to be coming on after my 56th birthday. It's going to be on May 29th, Sunday night. Thank you, Jay, man. And I want to tell everybody, listen to me. This is my brother from the Ave. But, man, this dude has inspired me. But I also want to thank my cousin King, King Henry, for his inspiration. He was the first person to interview me on a podcast. And then Jay Sean interviewed me next. And Jay Sean inspired me. You know, he said, hey, bro, you know, my cousin also mentioned, but Jay Sean was like, nah, man, I need you to get on this. You know, let me put you on, and we'll work something out. And I'm like, cool, you know. And ever since, this is what we've been doing. And I'm going to tell you, you know, like, that's what brotherhood is. You know what I'm saying? People putting each other on, not hating on each other, not, you know, trying to find reason to say, well, you know what, I can do it better than him. Man, that's irrelevant. You know, we need to all do it together.
Right.
And we're doing it right. Together. We're doing it together now, and I'm grateful. And I want y'all to join us. My podcast is called Point of Impact, which is followed down from my book. I have a book written, Point of Impact. You can find it on Lulu.com. You know what I'm saying? Listen, man, we're going to be talking about some real crucial issues, and we're going to be having direct talk. Direct talk.
That's it.
Now, my topic, I have people who I invite on the show. Most of the people I invite on the show are brothers who are doing exactly what I've been doing. And they're in society showing and proving that they could be, you know, that we're coming home being successful and wiping out those myths that in 3 to 2 years, 53% of American African men return back to prison. That's a lie. And so we here, you know, breaking that myth. And I just, you know, real quick, I'm going to close. I just, you know, y'all can join us. Please join us on May 29th from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're going to rock for an hour. We're not going to keep everything tied up. We're going to rock for an hour. And, you know,
we're going to be in there.
Hey,
Jay,
you got to get up, brother. 2 hours.
We gonna be in there. Malai, you here?
I'm in there, Greensville. Okay.
Yo, Malai, you still here?
I'm speaking to Malai right now. I was everywhere.
This hey, Malai.
I was up 25.
Malai.
Yeah, tell him that. Yeah, absolutely.
You still here?
Yeah, you look great, man. Okay.
Yo,
okay.
Look.
You look good, man.
Look. This I ain't gonna hold you up, Malai. But look, Malai, I ain't gonna hold you up, Malai.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I ain't gonna hold you up. But look, I want everybody to tune into his podcast next Sunday. You know what I mean? This is me and him. You know what I'm saying? Like we hung out in the street together. And back in the 80s.
Yeah, that's what
Jay
Sean was
in the background. That's some noise in the background. Me and this brother hung out in the 80s, and he is genuine. And I mean, you got the same energy that you had when we was young. I can hear it in your voice.
Oh, man.
You know what
Thank
I mean?
You,
even though I know we could never imagine maybe the things you seen and the things you did and endured, but you sound the same way that you sound in the 80s when we was 17 bad, you know what I mean? And I'm proud of that, you know what I mean? You
oh,
stood
you,
strong. I mean, I could never imagine what you've been through.
Yeah.
But you sound the same energetic. You know what I mean? Big smile.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? The same brother that I knew all the years ago. You know, you the same brother, man. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Jay. But you know, Jay. Hey, but Jay, you know what? That's you know, and I'm just being 100. Like, we had our differences when we were all growing up. But I'm gonna tell you something, man. Them brothers that I grew up with from 17th Ave to Market Street and all of that, they cultivated me. You know what I'm saying? They cultivated me and made me the man I am. You know, a lot of that is, you know, trickled down to who I am today because of the love and the brotherhood we had on the block. You know what I'm saying? We had some serious love and brotherhood out there. A lot of people don't know it, but 17th Ave was really a serious tight knit clique. You understand what I'm saying? We was tight knit, you know? And so that's where it is. But look, I just had seen a brother that I did time when I was, you know, greeting him. Look, man, I gotta go. I wanna thank everybody for supporting Jay Sean, man. This is a sincerely beautiful brother. I think we all need to continue to support him. Please tune in on May 29th, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Please tune in, man, and, you know, give us your advice, give us your knowledge, give us your wisdom, share with us your opinions, and, you know, we look forward to seeing you then. May Allah keep you all safe, and thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate you, bro.
Hey, Malai. All I want you to do before you hang up, just yes or no. Have you ever been sexually turned out?
Oh yeah, oh absolutely. I ain't telling the person that, but yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, she probably know who she is, but I ain't gonna tell her that. No, man, But I gotta keep it 100 with you, right? My wife, man, listen.
Yeah.
The intimacy that I share with this woman, it ain't sex. Don't even compare, man. It's just beautiful, man. So
hey,
you know.
Say no more. Say no more. We feel you.
Thank you again, bro. I gotta get out of here, man. I love you, Jay.
Yeah, go ahead. I held you long enough.
I talk to you in the week, okay?
All right. Peace.
Peace, and peace and love to everyone. Assalamu alaikum.
Salaam. Salaam. Peace. Oh, man, that's real right there. You know what I mean? That's somebody that I really, you know, we hung together, we walked together in the 80s together. And I always say, like, he wound up doing 25 years in prison. That don't mean that I couldn't have did 25 in prison. That just mean that I didn't never get caught that way. A lot of us feel like because we never been to prison that we escaped, but a lot of people did a lot of things that they could have been in prison. And everybody's in prison, a lot of people in prison because they tried to make their own laws and they wound up, I guess, somewhat in prison. But the people, when you find people who made it and able to come out and talk and still have intellect and goal driven, you really got to take your hat off to them. You know what I mean? Because they really been through a lot. We gonna keep moving now. We got some earlier. Okay, earlier we 3058. You still here? I give it. Take a minute. Wait a minute. How about 4785?
I'm still here.
Oh, you still here? Oh, thank you. That was a long break. That was a long. Hold on, let me call. I gotta call one person. Hold on, 1 second. 3058 still here. I think they muted their phone. Yo.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right. Hold on 1 minute. I got you on the line. Hold on 1 minute. All right. 4785, you still here?
Yeah.
All right. I asked you a question earlier. I told you to let it marinate before you answer it. So I want to ask you again right now, and I'll give you a chance to, you know, I'll give you an opinion. Would you date or marry a disabled person?
Who was that? You asked a 4-7?
Yeah, I'm asking, 4785.
No, I wouldn't.
Why wouldn't you date why wouldn't you marry a disabled person?
Well, actually, when I was married, my husband fell and broke his neck, and he was brain dead for a while, and I had to pull the plug. And just that time that I went through that, and my mom at the same time was having open heart surgery, I was going back and forth to the hospital.
Give a cup of ice cream.
Thank you. And the thing is that as I was going through that for that period of time, it really killed a person when they. And don't get me wrong, love is a powerful thing, but for me, it after a while, it gets really hard that you lose a little bit of yourself because your whole being has got to be to take care of that person. Now, it's different type of handicap, but you never
right.
know what type you're faced with. You know what I mean? And like the gentleman said, his wife is on dialysis. Well, I had an older brother that lost his kidneys when he was 21. And in and out of the hospital and going to visit him and watching his kids and his wife going through that, it's a lot. I mean, it's not being selfish. It's just being that it's hard. I even work with handicapped adults. And let me tell you, they don't even want to date someone like them. They want people to date this can move around and get around. So it's a personal issue that people have to decide. And I'm not prejudiced against it. I mean, if that's what you want to do, but you have to be. You said what?
You wouldn't. You wouldn't marry a disabled person.
No.
Okay. All right. Hold that thought right there. 5392, you live.
How you doing?
Dr. James.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. I heard that gentleman on the phone earlier about, I believe he's saying he was in various prisons, right? Did he say that?
Yeah, he was on earlier.
I wonder if he was in Northern State.
Oh, no.
Did he mention Northern State?
He's locked up in Virginia.
Okay. Because I used to work as the podiatrist in Northern State. So I was just wondering, he might have been one of my patients. But anyway, as far as the ladies talking about dating a disabled person, first of all, I just like to say this. As we get older, we all develop some kind of disabilities. We get bad backs. We get bad legs. We have problems walking, talking. So, you know, there's all the various types of disabilities. So you can't just say a general statement like, okay, maybe you wouldn't date someone who's in a wheelchair who has, you know, various like cerebral palsy or something that require a large percentage of work. But if someone had a bad back where, you know, they couldn't work anymore, lift any more boxes because their back was bad, you might want to, you know, date them. So it's hard to give a blanket statement, you know, as to what, you know, unless you know what the disability is. What?
Are you disabled?
Yeah, I'm disabled, but what happened was all my life I wasn't disabled until I turned 50 years old and I lost my eyesight. See, so that's what I'm saying. As you get older, different things happen to you. And, you know, I would ask the lady, if you wouldn't date a disabled person, would you date Stevie Wonder? Because the man is rich. Now,
okay,
that's
you know what I'm saying? So, it's hard to say a blanket statement.
One minute.
Hold on 1 second. 1 second.
Okay.
3058.
Yes.
Here?
Yeah, I'm
here. Would you date Stevie Wonder?
I would date him, yeah, but you got to remember, he's a popular guy, and he has people who's at his beck and call. I wouldn't.
Because he got money, yeah.
But exactly.
So he can pay somebody to help take do whatever he needs to do. So,
that's,
I mean,
right.
That's why I say you can't give a blanket statement. It varies.
It sure does, because personally, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
Marry a disabled person?
I'm weak when it comes to that. I wouldn't be no help.
No, for the gentleman, what you don't realize is that I said for me, for my life, it's not a blank statement. It's a thing of I have nothing against people. Like you said, the gentleman said before, we all are handicapped. But for me, my whole life, I've been there. I took care of my father till he died. I took care of my mother. I took care of two of my husbands. I helped with my brother. Even I have friends and family members that I'm right there for now. What I'm saying, for me personally, I would not want to take that on at the time of life that I'm in now.
I don't blame
you. I would say it depends on the level of help that you have to give. Like I said, somebody like Stevie Wonder, he'll have aides helping him and doing this. So you don't have to necessarily do all that. He just asked you, would you date them or whatever, marry. But he didn't ask you, would you do all the work that they need? Because a lot of these disabled people, they have home health aides and all that type of stuff. And like I said, it still depends on the degree of disability.
James, you completely blind?
Yeah, I'm completely blind.
How old are you?
You have people that are deaf.
How old are you?
I'm 62. 62.
Okay.
What happened? I lost my eyesight when I was 50.
Look, I go to work every day, and I take care of
not only disabled adults. I take care of adults that has mental illness, okay? So it's not that I'm not a caring person. I'm just saying for me, I would not date one or marry one.
Well, I'm just saying that there's so many disabilities that you can't just, you know, like, there's so many different types of disabilities. And some people might have slight disabilities. Like, I know a guy that's deaf with hearing aid. He can hear you a little bit. But that guy is in shape, strong as an ox. He used to play basketball. He worked construction, made a lot of money, and all that. You know, so there's different levels of disability.
Right.
You know, it's not just everybody's
James?
James,
are you married, James?
Yeah.
Are you married?
Me? Right this minute, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, hold on. Everybody hold down 1 second. Hold down 1 second. 7468, you here? You on? 7468.
Yeah.
Yes, Dre, you on?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. This is my man Dre on the phone. He was born with muscular dystrophy. He been confined to a wheelchair since he was 12. He got a trach in his throat, so his voice gonna sound kind of funny. Not funny, but distorted. Dre, so you've been hearing the conversation a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you hear people, if they say they won't marry a disabled person, how that make you feel?
I mean, it's not for everybody. To be honest with you, it's not for everybody. But. Like I told you earlier this week, if you spend enough time with somebody and the chemistry's there and everything's there, you never know what you would do. I mean...
Okay, but I asked you earlier, you disabled, right? But I
mm-hmm.
asked you earlier in the week, if you wasn't disabled... and you was able to walk, would you date somebody that was disabled? And what did you tell me?
I said I wouldn't.
You said you would.
Yeah.
And then I said, what, that's kind of like a hypocrite.
Yeah. But that's how I said. But on the flip side, as I just said, though, if you spend enough time with somebody, you never know what you're doing.
So James said if they had enough money, and you saying if you spend enough time with this disabled person,
yes.
then it
yes.
would be different. See,
me personally, I
told my sister, like I said, I think I could marry somebody who was disabled, blind, somebody that was in a wheelchair, somebody who was deaf. But, I mean, I never tried it. I'm just saying it's easy to talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk.
I mean, for me, I think I'm the definition of disabled. I have a turkey out of me. I have muscular dystrophy. I'm 55 pounds. I have 5 kids and 4 baby mothers. And I have over 22 sex partners.
How old
and
are you?
I don't think, I'm 44. And I don't think
44.
Any of my baby mothers woke up or just, you know, in their life thought that they were had kids with a handicapped person. I don't think that was a goal, you know what I'm saying, for them. They're not disabled.
Right.
They're beautiful black women and Spanish women. And they lay down to have my kids. Disability and all. So you really can't say what you'll do until you're in that position.
So you saying that for the people who say they can't marry a disabled person, they really can't say that until they get to know a disabled person?
Yeah. I mean, I even had grown men that are my friends that said, "Damn, bro, before I met you, I was like, eerie about disabled people. But being around you, bro, like, you helped me out with that." Like, you feel me? It's like, you don't know until you're in that situation. Now, do you want to take care of somebody and have to change them and do this and do that? No, you don't do that because you want to. You do that because you love that person. I don't hear nothing about love. All I hear about is what I won't do. But you'll do anything for the person you love, the person you care about, the person that you want to be with.
Hey, you hear what he said? So, 4785 or 3058. Do you think spending time with somebody disabled, you would be able to love them and marry them?
I said what I said already. It won't be happening for me. Because,
she experienced it already. She already said she did it already. So it's
I know Dre, and I have deep feelings for him and everything. And you know what I mean? And like he said, you get to know him and stuff. But for me, I'm just starting, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just starting, like, my senior life. And, like, I just don't want to go down that road. Because, like you said, it's different types of handicap.
Hey, James.
Look, you said you've done it before, right?
I've done it already.
Right, so you can't really put her in that category because she's done it. It's not like one of your other podcasts that you had a while ago. You had some young ladies on the podcast, and you asked them about that, and they said, "Hell no, they've never done that before. They never tried it before." So she has tried it, and she's just saying that, you know what? She's done it, she's been there, and that's not what she would prefer at the moment.
Hey, James, you still here?
Yeah.
Would you say that somebody who said that they wouldn't date or marry a disabled person, would you say that they being insensitive?
No, because, listen, some people don't want to get married to anybody, period. And yeah, this day and age, there's a lot of people that don't get married. So some people just, you know, I ain't marrying disabled, non-disabled, whatever the case. But I don't believe that in every case. People might make a statement at this time, but sometimes they change their mind. Like, I used to go into senior citizen buildings, and you got these senior citizen men in wheelchairs, and they got girlfriends younger than them, nice girls, nice looking girls, and so forth, that married them. Now, I know two of them in particular, the girls married them pretty much because they had an apartment in the senior citizen building. And the girls didn't have nowhere to stay. These two girls might have been crackheads or something in the past, but they straightened themselves out, and they were in a situation where this disabled man helped them out. So they went ahead and got married to him. So even though you may say it now, "I wouldn't marry this man," you don't know the situation. Because everybody's, you know, people change their mind and all that. And that's why I say it's hard to make a blanket statement. You know what I mean? Each situation is different.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I say.
No, that's, I understand. 3058.
Have you ever been sexually turned out? Hello? 3058. She might be tied up. How about you, 4785? Who?
Hello?
3058.
I'm here.
Have you ever been sexually turned out?
No.
Wow.
Stop lying.
Yeah, who? Nobody sexually turned me out. If it was the other way around, yeah.
It's a keeping it real. Keep it real.
I know it's keeping it real. And I kept it real. No.
Keep it real.
Jay Sean, no.
Okay, well, 4785, have you ever been sexually turned out?
I already told you already.
Okay, all right. Hold on one second. 3282, you still here?
Yes, sir, my brother.
You just been listening, huh? You just been listening tonight?
I was hoping, the brother, that's a friend of yours you grew up with, I wanted to let him know that even though he tried to use the word analyze, well, he used analogize about the women, and about all men have a preference for something, man. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. But I treat everybody equal across the board because, you know, we had the J. You know that. Couldn't pay no preference, you know. And if you did, well, you never know who's looking at you. But I'm going to get on that brother's podcast. I'm going to talk to him a little further because he had to make that run. But, yeah, what do you want to ask me, Jay? Go ahead.
Have you ever been sexually turned out?
I wouldn't say turned out, but I would say I always rated a woman's performance. And those are the ones that I wanted to get a round trip with, if you know what I'm saying. And there were some women you get with, you say, hey, I see you, if I don't, I don't. And then those that you enjoyed their company, you wanted that round trip. And I guess you try to, take her to lunch or see her again, you know what I'm saying. Every woman's not the same, you know.
Right. Would you, A-Forrest, would you marry a disabled person?
I'm 65, and if she got, like the brother said, and I agree with the brother, if she got the right heart, all right, and it depends, like my man, the doctor said there, my man Dr. Darren, it depends on the level of disability because I'm 65, and you know, now if I was with somebody over a number of years and I had to wipe their behind and, you know, and work them like that, Jay, I wouldn't abandon them. I'd be with them because, you know, you turn your back on people, you know, what goes around comes around. Like the man said, like Dr. Darren said, as you get older, you turn your back on somebody. Let's say you're 50, 55. 10 years from now, you might be in that same predicament, okay? And then you're going to want somebody to look out for you. So that's why you got to look out for people. But, well, it depends on how long I've been with that person and the feeling I have for somebody, you know. But at 65, you know, by me being single, I ain't, you know, no. Right now, you know, that ain't crossed my path. But like I said, it's the heart, like the brother was saying. It's the heart and it's the mind of the lady. Because we're at the age now, man, we play them games when we're younger. You know, we run around clubbing, you know, different girls. Now, it ain't like that. 65, I'm relaxed, man. And I want a woman that's relaxed and can enjoy the company of the man that she's with.
Right.
Hey,
Dr. James.
Hold on. What'd you say, Dre?
I don't think a person that's looking for someone to wipe their ass or things like that is actually looking for a relationship, you know what I'm saying? Like the guy said before, people with disabilities usually have someone to take care of them personally. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't look for none of my girls to do anything extra for me than I can't do for myself. If you can't take care of yourself in that way, then I don't think you're looking for a relationship like that. I don't think that's on your mind.
Are you married?
To be honest.
Are you married?
Huh?
Are you married? You?
Nah, I could have been. Couple times.
So you looking forward to getting married?
It's the last thing I got on my list. I did everything else I wanted to do.
But not to a disabled person.
You want somebody to get wiped
out? To anyone that...
No, to a disabled person.
I'm looking for
a disabled person.
Yeah, so anyone that can give me what I'm looking for. Huh?
A disabled person or not a disabled person?
It depends on the situation.
So you would marry a disabled person?
Like, I know a disabled person right now that I wouldn't mind, you know, being with, but I wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know someone now that I met. I don't know a lot of disabled people like that.
Marry a disabled person right now, yes or no?
It depends if I feel for them, if they feel for me.
Would you?
I just told you. It depends on how you feel. The feelings, man. It's about feelings.
No,
right.
Yes or no answer. Would you marry the disabled person?
It's about feelings. If I love her and she loves me.
Yes or no?
There is no yes or no.
Say no, Dre.
Huh?
Nah, there is no yes or
no
for that.
It's a what?
My yes and no is if the chemistry's there and you spend enough time.
That's not the question I'm asking you. Would you marry a disabled person and you're disabled, yes or no?
No.
I would marry anybody that we fit compatible with.
So that means, yes, you would marry a disabled person.
If we compatible, okay. This is what happened.
Huh?
This is what happened. But like the guy said before, a disabled person is not looking for...
You dancing.
A disabled person is not looking for another disabled person.
Dr. James.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna switch gears a little bit. Is there such thing as light skin privilege?
Life what?
Light skin privilege.
I would say all people have some sort of prejudice. You will have black prejudice against each other, just like you may have whites that are prejudiced against each other, and some whites may be prejudiced if they don't speak Spanish, and you have some people that are Caribbean that's prejudiced, Jamaican is prejudiced against the Trinidadian, and so forth and so on. So
are you light-skinned?
Are there black people?
Are you light-skinned?
I'm brown skinned, but I think that there's probably, in this world, there are people that are racist like that, yeah, that think light skin is better or whatever the case. But that type of stuff is dwindling down. It's not so common like it was in slavery or whatever the case.
Oh, okay.
But I think he might have some people to get a job faster or whatever because they're light-skinned or whatever the case.
I believe it is such thing as light-skinned privilege, and not only within the light-skinned person mind, but I believe it's real in the world. I believe it starts at a young age, maybe from TV, where you see the light-skinned models and you see the actresses light-skinned with the long, wavy hair. And then they portray the black models with the short, nappy hair in different parts in movies. And the light-skinned people get certain parts in the movies. And I think that started in slavery.
I think that started in slavery.
Right, right. With the people, the light-skinned people being house Negroes and the dark-skinned people working in the fields. I believe it is such thing as light skin privilege. Does it really matter, or does it really mean anything? I think it only matters and means things to the people who like light skin people. You know what I mean? So, as far as like I'm talking about,
I think, but that's not everybody. You got some light skin women; they only like dark skin men.
Oh, yeah, of course. No, I'm talking about, like, jobs. You know, some employment, they like to have the light-skinned sister receptionist when you come in the office. Or you got some people that they only want to have babies with light-skinned females or light-skinned males because they believe the babies will come out and look good. You know, I know everybody heard that my baby gonna look good because my baby father light skinned it, or my baby mother light skinned it. I believe that light skin privilege and light skin what's the right word for that? Well, whatever lies within the light skinned person mind, I believe that it does exist.
I think that started in the household. I think it's from slavery. It starts in the household, and you get some parents that will treat their kids, the ones that are lighter skinned, treat them better than the kids that are darker skinned. So it's not only the jobs.
I believe that too.
We talked about a lot of things tonight,
but one thing we didn't really talk about, so I want to take the time out and ask everybody what they think about this. You know, we don't have to talk about it too much, but, I mean, it was a topic. I'll start with you, Dr. James. Abortion rights. How you feel about that? Should that be a woman's choice?
I'm gonna say two things because I got two topics on my mind. One of them is that.
Okay.
My feeling is if a young girl get pregnant by accident, she's not ready to go to school. I mean, she's not ready to get a job. She's in school. She don't want to drop out. She made a mistake. Yeah, maybe she should get an abortion, or maybe one or two, right? I don't believe a woman should go out there and get 20, 25 abortions. You know, that's my personal opinion, because that is hurting the woman's body. And then she using abortion like birth control. By that time, you don't got pregnant so many times, why don't you get on birth control? But I do believe it's a woman's choice. That's it. That's the bottom line. The other thing is, do you believe with all these murders going on, like in New York and so forth, these big cities, that they need to bring back the death penalty? And that guy that killed those 10 people in Buffalo, you think he should get the death penalty?
You asking me?
Yeah.
Well, you asking the right person now, because I'm a person that's I'm frustrated and fed up with this government as far as things like that go. And why I say that is because we got to, like I said earlier, if you didn't hear me in the beginning of the show, you got an 18-year-old white male who drives 4 hours to a predominantly black grocery store to kill black people because he believed that white people are becoming the minority And what pisses me off more than the cops just walking him out, not like it's nothing, like a black person, they would have beat him down and shot him 100 times. What pisses me off more than all of that is that they allow him to go to court and then plead not guilty. Now the guy.
Well, that part it could be a black man still. If it was a black man that did that, I still think he should get the death penalty. Don't make no difference to me. If you kill 10 people like that, you need the death penalty.
Yeah, he streamed it live on the internet. No, listen, follow me. He streamed it live on the internet. He had more guns in the car. He was going other places. He's on camera live killing people, shooting people, and then they allow him, this government allow him to go into court and plead not guilty. See, that's what I don't agree with. It should be no due process where he is allowed to plead not guilty. I mean,
He's not getting out of jail. But I'm saying, do you think they should go ahead and give him death penalty?
Why waste taxpayers' money?
That's why I said give him the death penalty. But not only him, if a black man walked into the store with a machine gun, give him the death penalty too. There's a whole lot of black people getting killed in New York and everywhere else.
A black man would never walk out the store if he did what that white guy did. He would never walk out. They would have shot
him
dead in there.
They would give him the death penalty right then and there, yeah. But
right. A
whole lot of black people, Spanish people, and everything else getting killed in New York, Newark, Chicago, and they're killing each other, killing little kids and all that. And I think they need to bring it back for some people. I think if you shoot a 3-year-old baby or something, they should look into giving you the death penalty too.
That's
you know?
True.
Now, not for one murder, maybe not, but you go in there shooting 4 or 5 people. I don't care if you're black, white, Indian, whatever. They should do something more severe because this ain't working.
No, it ain't working. That's because they got the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, and they never going to change that law because the NRA, the people that's for the guns, they making too much money off of that, and white people making too much money off of crime and prisons.
I would tell them, okay, you got your guns. We never gonna remove all the guns out of these people's houses. Never. So the bottom line, you got your guns, but I'll be damned if you come in here shooting up this place with your gun, and we don't do nothing to you. If you got your gun, you better keep that damn gun in the house. Because you come out here shooting people, you're going to get the death penalty. That's what we're going to have to do.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what we're going to do.
Stop this nonsense.
Yeah, you're right. We're running out of time, but I don't want to miss out on anything. 4785, you still here?
Yeah.
The time is running short. I wanted to know... after you, we heard everything that you heard. Do you still feel the same way about disabled people marrying a disabled man?
I'm gonna say one more time. The age that I am, I don't know who I will ever date, but on my list is I would not date or marry a disabled person. But I'm not going to say that if I ever met somebody and got to know them that we would get close and stuff together. But I don't think that's on my list.
Oh, okay. All right. How about you, 3058? You still on the same thing? You wouldn't marry or date a disabled person?
No, I wouldn't. I would be very good friends, but I'm not the one to do all that responsibility. I can't handle it.
Okay. 7468, Dre, you still here? Dre.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You still here, so if you wasn't disabled,
that's all it takes.
If you wasn't disabled, would you marry a disabled person?
Hey, yo, to answer, to follow behind what she just said, and she would be a friend, that's all it takes.
Oh,
That's all it takes. Especially for a brother like me, that's all it takes, a window. You give a hug to that person a window, they'll get you. Trust me.
Drake said with a brother like him. That's all it takes to be a friend and then forget about it.
I fell in love with him and I bet the book.
You fell in love with you when you read the book.
And I'm going to meet you.
For real. What?
I said, I'm going to meet him too.
You going to meet him?
I sure am.
Oh, you're going to meet. I appreciate that. Oh, man. Yo, look, we're running out of time. I want to thank everybody. I hate that the time is going so fast. Before we leave, I want to remind everybody about the Forest Nance podcast tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Grown folks talking, express yourself. Same phone number at 7 o'clock. And then Monday night, Dre, he's on the line. Dre, he has his own podcast on Monday nights at 8:30, the same phone number. And don't forget, on the 29th, we're going to have my man who came out earlier, Point of Impact. With Prick talking about prison reform and social equality. That'll be on the 29th. We still got some time. I mean, I had a lot of fun tonight. I kind of felt like I touched on everything. I hope everybody was able to get their point across. Is it light-skinned privilege? I knew I wasn't going to get a light-skinned person to come on here and say nothing, but they on the line. Trust me, they on the line, but they not going to say nothing. Only the dark-skinned people spoke on this show, so that lets you know everything right there, that dark-skinned is the dominant shade of perfection. If it wasn't the case, you would have had some light-skinned people on here voicing their opinion. Can I say something about that?
What you just said. Listen, we need everybody. I think we need.
Go ahead.
We need everybody: light skin, dark skin, brown skin, whatever. Because we fighting a battle where we need as much help as we can get. So we got to do it all together. We can't separate.
Exactly.
I don't know her name. The white lady that always have the audience where she have all white people and she always asks them that they know how black people are treated in America. If they were black, would they want to be black? And they all never answer a question. It's the same thing about light skinned people. Why would they want to come forward if they know already that how they live in the world being the color they are? They're not going to step out and say that.
Yeah. We gonna hopefully one day, you know, color won't really matter. But until that day,
it's gotta stop being talked about in the home.
Right. It has to. Dre, is anything you want to say before we close out?
Oh, hell yeah. That abortion thing, bro?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't talk because I got 5 kids, but I love all my kids, and I had a home prepared for 4 out of 5 when I decided to have my kids. But before we hit that abortion clinic, we got to stop and beg. I know sex feels good, and we love the nut and all that fly shit. You know what I mean? But it's not worth killing the life just because you want your nut. And for men, we have to be more strong because our kids over us first. The women, they have kids, but we carry our children first. So we have to be more mindful of where we put our nut.
Hey, you're right about that. You're right. Once again, you know what I'm saying? I hate to say the time, you know, time we running shit light on the time. I want to thank everybody who tuned in tonight. I really do on the link and on the phone lines, even if you're listening. You know, I always got to say about donations, if you want to donate to the podcast, the Cash App is $JASHONJ. It'd be greatly appreciated. I want to thank everybody that listened. Hopefully you'll be joining me every week. And, you know, like I said before, tell a friend and tell a friend, tell somebody, you know, because, you know, it's Friday night. It's nothing else to do. And I really appreciate everybody who tuned into the show, because you could be anywhere, but you're here with me. And hopefully it was a meaningful event. Don't forget to tune in to Farr's show tomorrow night, because it'll be one of his last shows. You know, I'm going to hate to see him go. And I want to thank the ladies that joined in tonight. People texting me, telling me it was a nice show. Thanks, Dr. James, for calling in. Dre, thank you for calling in. Forrest, Malai, 478-5-3058, and all the phone numbers, the people that's just listening who don't never want to talk. I mean, it's okay. I don't care. As long as you supporting the show, that's all that matters to me. I'm trying to figure out a good way to close out this show. Let me see. Light-skinned people, they just light-skinned people. I mean, if they feel that they're better than dark-skinned people, it's only in their mind. Dating a disabled person, if you don't want to, it's not insensitive. If you want to, you're not going to be looked at as being sympathetic or feeling sorry for the person. I think what we learned tonight is that if you want to date a disabled person, you do it. If you don't want to date a disabled person, you just don't. But never say never. Abortion rights, I could just tell one story. My youngest daughter turned 20 next month, June 11th, and when her mother got pregnant, I did not want another baby. I had 7 kids. I did not want another one. I was 38, and I wanted her to have an abortion, and she didn't, and she had my daughter. And my daughter turning 20, June 11th, and I think about, oh, my God, what I really wanted her to abort that. And my youngest daughter, like, is like the apple of my eye. So abortions, you really got to think about it, because you could be stopping a positive creation. And sexually turned out, I think we all been sexually turned out in some way, one way or another. Some people might not have, but everybody know my history, you know, with the dances and the promoting and all that. I would think I've been sexually turned out before. I would think I've been. I think everybody have been. And if not, hey, never say never. You still got a chance. You still breathing. You still got feelings. So your sexually turnout might still be coming. Whether you're 25 or 75, you still got an opportunity to be sexually turned out. And like I said, don't forget nothing that I said in the beginning of the show. Becoming who you want to become, and you're never too old. Remember what I said in the beginning of the show. 6 points. And remember them. Set a goal. Write it down. Think of all the ways that you can be the person you want to be. Think back to when you was a kid and think about where you went wrong. And write down a description of where you want to be or where you want to go in life. And then act on it. You got nothing to lose, but you got a life to win. Become the person that you want to become. And wherever you at in life, it represents you. Remember I said that. The job you at, the friends you got, the car you drive, the food you eat, the place you live. If you're not happy, if you're not where you want to be, then change the shit. Change the friends you got. Change the places you eat. Change the place you live. Change the car you drive. Change the food you eat. Change all that shit to become the person that you want to become. Put that vision board up where you want to be in 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. What is the price you must pay to be where you want to be? Yo, that concludes our show for the evening. Man, I could do this all night long. I want to thank everybody. I really do. You know what I mean? And we'll be right back here next Friday. You know, we got a keeping it real hotline now, 973-460-1610. You know, if you want to leave your thoughts and ideas or whatever you want to do, we got that. You could just leave it. We 9 minutes over 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock is no longer being recorded, but you can still hear me and I can still hear you. So we went overboard. I got to get up early in the morning because I'm going fishing. I had a couple of drinks and I feel good. I don't really know what I'm going to do after this. But I hope everybody out there, listen, be safe. The COVID is back. Change your life. If you ain't where you want to be, change it. Change the things you're doing. Change the people you be with. Look, wake up every day an hour earlier than you wake up and start writing down the things that you want to do and where you want to be. 5 things. Trust me. It only takes one idea to get you where you want to be. And remember what I said. Ford, the guy that created the Ford, he didn't do that until he was 48 years old. Morgan Freeman didn't get a hit movie until he was in his 40s. 40, 50, 60, I knew people 80 years old in college Don't think because you're 63 or 65 or 59 that it's too late. It's never too late to dream your dream and be where you want to be. Wherever you right at right now with your job or wherever you at, if you're not happy there, that's not your future. You don't have to be there. Change it. The friends that you have, they don't have to be your friends. Change it. If you hang with nine people who ain't about shit, person, it's about to be 10 people who ain't about shit. And that's what I'm learning. Everybody enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll be right here next Friday, Memorial Day weekend. Everybody stay safe. Wash your hands. Keep your mask on. The COVID is back. You know what I mean? And everybody stay safe. It's been a hell of a show. Everybody, y'all did a good job. And I hope I did a good job. I really do. I hope I did a good job. Remember what I told you about this ship. This with no destination, with no captain, with nobody on the ship going nowhere. And then think about the ship that got a captain and all the people and working and they got a destination and they know where they're going. Remember the ship that don't got no captain and nowhere, they don't know where they're going. Be the ship with a captain. Know where you're going. Know your destination. Change your life. Stop just living just to be living. You got nothing to lose, but you got a lot to win. Set a goal. What is the price you must pay to be where you want to be? Whatever it is, become the person that you want to become. Peace.